morning, everyone.
1 Samuel 15 is the first reading. The basis for Bruce's sermon today. Anybody know why God made stock analyst? To make the weather forecasters look good. 1 Samuel 15, starting at verse 10 through 23. Then the word of the Lord came to Samuel, "I am grieved that I have made Saul king, because he has turned away from me and has not carried out my instructions." Samuel was troubled, and he cried out to the Lord all that night. Early in the morning, Samuel got up and went to meet Saul, but he was told, "Saul is going to Carmel. There he has set up a monument in his own honor and has turned and gone down to Gilgal." When Samuel reached him, Saul said, "The Lord bless you. I've carried out the Lord's instructions." But Samuel said, "What then is the bleating of sheep in my ears? What is the lowing of cattle that I hear?" Saul answered, "The soldiers brought them from the Amalekites. They spared the best of the sheep and cattle to sacrifice to the Lord your God, but we totally destroyed the rest." "Stop," Samuel said to Saul. "Let me tell you what the Lord said to me last night." "Tell me," Saul replied. Samuel said, "Although you were once small in your own eyes, you did not become the head of the tribes of Israel. The Lord anointed you king over Israel, and he sent you on a mission, saying, 'Go and completely destroy those wicked people, the Amalekites. Make war on them until you have wiped them out.' Why did you not obey the Lord? Why did you pounce on the plunder and do evil in the eyes of the Lord?" "But I did obey the Lord," Saul said. "I went on the mission the Lord assigned me. I completely destroyed the Amalekites and brought back Agag, their king. The soldiers took sheep and cattle from plunder, the best of what was devoted to God, in order to sacrifice them to the Lord your God at Gilgal." But Samuel replied, "Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much in obeying the voice of the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is like the sin of divination, and the arrogance like the evil of idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you as king." The second reading comes from Micah. I always struggle to find that one, right? Micah in chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. "With what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has showed you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." In the third reading from Psalm chapter 51 and 16 and 17. Psalm 51, 16 and 17. "You do not delight in sacrifices, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." Here ends our reading.
Kids are welcome to come down. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Tom, you've got to stay. Just put your Bible down. I'm going to tell you something that you kind of know already, okay? Sometimes people say things, but they don't really mean it in their heart. You're smart enough to know that sometimes and recognize it, right? So I need a volunteer. I'm going to pick you because you're big. Come on up. And you're going to be the good girl. I'm going to be the older brother bad guy, okay? All right. We're playing around. I push you down, and you fall down. Ah, and you cry. You cry. Oh, let's hear you. Pretend. What? That's good. That was good. And dad comes, and says, what happened?
What happened here?
She fell down. She's a girl. They always fall down all the time. And you get back up and you tell him the truth. What did I do? Yeah, I did. I'm sorry.
You are.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I said it. You heard me say, I'm sorry. Then Dad walks away. How come you told him that and I push you again? Down you go. And you start to. Perfect. Well done. Good. And Dad calls him in and said, what happened
here?
She fell down again. She's a girl. She keeps tripping over her feet. Come on up, Mabel. Tell Dad the truth again.
No, he pushed her down again.
Now, let's ask a different question. Was I really sorry the first time?
No.
Now, what does that make my dad have to do to me since I wasn't telling the truth? What did I do to her when he wasn't looking? I pushed her down. Who was the person that was mean and wrong? I was. You know this. Because you know I said it with my, but did not mean it in my, I was saying words. Now my dad has got to deal with me differently. And so he says to me, go sit up. Say amen, the sermon's over. Okay, all right. Go to your room, we're going to have a talk. So he sends me to my room and we go have a talk. And he tells me, you were nasty, bad, and you got a meeting. You're fine. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm really sorry now. Oh, gee, it's getting scary. I'm scared now. You always make me cry. All right. So wait. Don't go away. So Dad has his talk with me, and I finally convince him, because he's kind of silly, doesn't he? I'm so sorry, Dad. And he goes away. And he turns around and turns around. And I, boom, hit her again. Down she goes, and she starts to cry. Cry. Wah. All right, there it is. Come on, Dad. She stands up. I don't know, she tripped again, Dad. Stand back up. Tell me again. Yeah. Now, wait. Now, this is now the third time. Did my dad tell me not to do it the first time? Did I say I'm sorry and mean it? Yes, you're right. Did my dad take me back there to the bedroom and talk to me the second time when I did it? Did I still mean it in my heart? No. Now, I want you to understand something. Each time I won't listen, it makes my dad have to come up with a bigger and bigger punishment, because I am not going to be permitted to push my sister down. I will not be permitted to say things with my mouth but not mean them in my heart. Now, I want you to understand something. In my little story, this is God, and I'm a disobedient child of God. And I'm saying things with my, but not meaning them in my. Therefore, God has got to figure out a way to discipline me so when I start saying, I really am sorry, I mean it not only with my, but also with my heart. Can you remember that? That's the sermon for today, okay? Thanks, Dad. You get a piece of candy if you want. Here we go. Oop, knock something on the ground. There you go. Help yourself. Go ahead. Take your time, but go quick. Take it. You get two because it's a snow day. Or one. Or just go quick. You got a 5, 4, 3, 2. Old children's sermon fell on the floor. I'm going to show you a little video. kind of set this up a little bit for you. This is a hard text. King Saul is hearing but not obeying. God gives him a very significant task. He has to go deal with the Amalekites. Way back when the children of Israel were leaving the land of Egypt, the Amalekites did this. They fought the Jews trying to pass through their land. They attacked them. They were the terrorists of the day. They were those, wherever there was a fringe group, they would attack that group, and that's what they were doing pretty significantly. Anyway, the battle is fought, and there's this situation, and then it says this, the Lord said to Moses, back from Exodus, you don't have the verse, it's Exodus 17, though, verse 14. The Lord said to Moses, write this on a scroll as something to be remembered, and make sure that Joshua hears it, because I will completely blot out the memory of Amalek from under the heavens. Now, those are pretty powerful statements. God doesn't say words like that. When he says, I will destroy the world with a flood, he meant it. Remember, there is a time when he says, I will come back, and you better not be the wrong five. You better have legitimate light burning with legitimate oil in your lamp, because the door will close on you, because you have to understand the power of justice, the power of concrete reality. There is this unbelievable amount of mercy, kindness, and tenderness on the part of God, but there also is a line in the sand. You don't cross that line. There is going to be a consequence, and that consequence is not simply going to be, don't push your sister down anymore. You all know what it means to have a rebellious child say things with his mouth but not mean them in his heart. You're smart enough to figure that out as parents. The kids got it in 2 seconds. Do you think God doesn't recognize the difference between sincerity with your mouth and sincerity in your heart? You think there's any illusion as we went through confession that God said, boy, I just don't know what she's really feeling. I don't know what's really in her heart. There's none of that. God is trying to say, I put these lines on the ground. They're real. They are concrete. They are absolute. You have to recognize, I am not playing games with you. I wasn't going to quite take the kids to where God was eventually going to take. Close that door. You're not part of the family. But you're old enough to understand that. You're old enough to understand the parable of the five and the five. You're able to recognize what's going on with that. And so here's the challenge for us as we start to go into the section. King Saul was given a very specific command. And eventually in this text that you heard read to you, you heard the phrase, to obey is better than sacrifice. Sacrifice literally means the slitting of the throat. Do you understand? God getting zero pleasure out of a killing of an animal. God isn't up there going, oh, goody, they butchered a lamb. He says, how will I show you how deadly your sin is if something doesn't die? You ever have a dog, a cat, anything in your life that you had to put down? That was sometimes the first time you understood the seriousness of death. God says, do you understand the seriousness of sin? I do not want you to misunderstand this very important concept. So I'm playing a Keith Green song, and I'm going to ask you to listen to it, if you would. And I like it, you don't have to.
My flesh is tired of seeking God.
Oh, you can't get the picture?
But on my knees I must stay. I want to be a pleasing child until that final day. My mind is full.
The wrong song. I wanted the song. I don't know if I goofed it up or what, which is certainly a possibility. I have done that once or twice in my life. But I'm looking for the song. If you can look for it, that's all right. To Obey is Better Than Sacrifice by Keith Green. And it's got a totally different window and everything else. So to obey is better than sacrifice. If you don't get it, I can talk through it real easy. So here we go. Situation. King Saul, given a very specific command through Samuel from God. I'm dealing with the Amalekites. You're my vessel of consequence for what they did to the Israelites. I have warned them. I have told them. I've given them space for repentance. They are still wicked. They're still evil. And God sends Saul and over, what, 250,000, 225,000 individuals? Yes, to this. And this is the lesson Saul had to learn. Here we go.
I don't need your money. I want your life. And I hear you say that I'm coming back soon. But you act like I'll never return. Well, you speak of grace and my love so sweet. How you thrive on milk but reject my meat. And I can't help weeping at how it will be if you keep on ignoring my word. Well, you pray to prosper and succeed, but your flesh is something
good handle on that text and understood the seriousness of what God was trying to communicate. When you hear that little phrase, if you can't come to me every day, don't bother coming at all, that's law. That doesn't give you much space, but it does hold your feet to the fire, and I'd rather hold your feet to the fire prior to the second coming, prior to the time it's too late for you, prior to that point when your faith is killed or whatever the situation is we might be going through, than to not hold our feet to the fire. Because that's necessary in my life, your life, and the lives of people around us. Well, King Saul got this command. I'm dealing with the Amalekites. You're my man. Take the Israelite army. Go and wipe them out. Huge, huge issue. I'm not going to talk about that this Sunday, but I can bring it up or talk about it if you want. Here's the issue that you have to recognize is going on. The thing that becomes important is that King Saul goes and does what King Saul wants. In other words, in comes the word of God. It hits King Saul's ears. It processes in King Saul's mind. And it comes out in a totally different kind of language, in totally different kind of phrases. We're all capable of this. So don't point your finger at Saul. instead go, been there, done that in some degree or another. In other words, we have to recognize one of the dilemmas. Now watch what Saul does as he begins there. He says, Saul, go take them all. And Saul saves King Agag. Saul saves the best of the sheep, goats, donkeys, rams, camels, and everything else. And he brings them all with him. And then in the interim, watch what he does in some of these points that Tom read to you, if you would, okay? It starts there where Samuel got up to meet Saul, but he was told, Saul has gone to Carmel, where he set up a monument in his own honor. I won the battle. Put up another plaque, build another statue. Reveals the man's heart. Who gave him the victory? God did. Who commanded him to do it? God did. Who, you understand? Where's Saul? Here. Now, Saul wasn't always like that. He kind of grew into it. You got to understand, arrogance does, you know, kind of grows on us after a while. I mean, we don't get dumber generally. We get smarter. We get more confident about our ability to not need God or his word. We get more sure of ourselves. And, gee, God, you're lucky to have me. I have survived college, and now I'm in my career, and I'm, you know, all the different things. I'm still a faithful Christian, whatever we can all do goes on. Watch what goes on here next. When Samuel reached him, verse 13, Saul said, Oh, the Lord bless you, Samuel. It's good to see you, buddy. I've carried out the Lord's instructions. Pure lie, but totally true from Saul's perspective. I did everything God told me to do, which is absolutely wrong. So Samuel, kind of sneaky as he was, goes, what's that bleeding of the animal noise? I hear kinds of animal noises. What's going on? And Saul then comes up with this, okay? Saul said, the soldiers, the people, is actually the Hebrew word, the people brought them with the from the Amalekites. They spared the best of the sheep and the cattle and so forth to sacrifice to the Lord our God. But we totally destroyed the rest. That's called rationalization. That's called excuse making. Been there, done that. God's not interested in your rationalization. He's not interested in your excuse making. And the only person that believes your excuses is you. You have to understand that. It's like even the kids could figure out when I was sincere or not sincere for my little illustration. Do you think God for 1 second doesn't recognize my insincerity, or self-delusion, or literal lying to myself so I make myself appear better than I am? I'm good enough. I'm going to make it into heaven. I'm the right five. The oil is really burning the right lamp. And you go, Pastor, don't ask those questions. But I go, now's the time to put pressure on you to ask them. If there's light in you, it will manifest in the darkness. People around you will see it. They will feel it. You walk into a dark room and you have a light in your hand. The first thing people around you do, cover their eyes and go, turn the light down. We can't. You're blinding us. Which is exactly what happens when you start living for God around your friends, acquaintances, families, and relatives. Even when you don't intend to blind them, the light of God in you presents that kind of challenge for them. And so the part of the issue you've got to recognize. Saul goes on as he continues. They spared some of the best, but we totally destroyed the rest. It's kind of, what's the big deal? Right? God, what's the big deal? I go, Saul answered, stop, verse 16. I like this word better, shut up. Would you just stop? I don't believe what you're saying. God certainly doesn't believe what you're saying. You are a lying older brother trying to manipulate dad. The kids would tell me, stop it. You don't mean it from your heart. And so here Samuel goes on, let me tell you what the Lord said to me last night. I don't want to listen to you anymore, Samuel. Be quiet. I'm going to tell you what God says. I'm going to tell you the truth from the word. Here we go. Tell me, Saul replied. Samuel said, although you were once small in your own eyes, did you not become the head of the tribes of Israel? Didn't the Lord anoint you king over Israel? And didn't he send you on a mission saying, go and completely destroy those wicked people, the Amalekites, make war on them until you have wiped them out? Then two questions. Why did you not obey? Second question. Why did you pounce on the plunder and do evil in the eyes of the Lord? Two more parts of the revelation of Saul's heart. I could not just destroy it. It looked so good. Right? The excuse making? Watch what he does. 20. But I did obey. Now, you got to understand, the little ones, if I slowed the story down a little bit and acted it out for them, they'd go, no, you did it. But Saul, totally deceived, is going that. He said, but I did obey the Lord's. I went on the mission of the Lord's. I completely destroyed the Amalekites and brought back Agag, their king, which he wasn't supposed to do. And the soldiers blame. Notice the blame. We always like that one. It was really my wife's fault. It wasn't me, my kids, you know. My job is just so hard. You know, I can't help myself emotionally. It's just so hard on me. You can't expect me to behave like a normal human being, whatever. All excuses, right? The soldiers took the sheep and the cattle from the plunder, the best of what was devoted to God, in order to sacrifice them to the Lord your God. Notice that little phrase, your God, at Gilgal. Pastor Herman, that may be the God you worship. Pastor Herman, that may be the Bible you read. But that's your God. I go, okay, just so you understand what that feels like. Samuel replied this, does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices? And the answer is no. God takes no joy in you or someone else killing an animal. But he says this becomes necessary so you understand the wickedness and the life and death reality of following me or not following me. It's so easy to get that covered up down there in the situations you live in. It's so easy to misunderstand. He said, when you see an animal bleeding out for your sake and you're grossed out by it, then you understand how serious your sins are. Then you start to recognize this is not just two people talking about, you were mean to me. No, I wasn't. Yes, you were. That's not it. We're talking life and death issues. We're talking what you have to do sometimes in a real military situation, which I've never experienced, but I've seen enough or read enough in books and movies or whatever, where somehow this new person comes out and they get this idea that somehow the enemy is just going to lie down if you point the gun at them. And the enemy is not going to shoot at your buddies, friends, and acquaintances. And the enemy is going to be nice if we're nice. Do you think for one second you can be nice to Satan and he'll be nice to you or your children? Do you think for one second that the enemy will be appeased by you laying down, oh, I'll play dead, I'm sorry, I'll stop. Good, I'll step on you and crush you now. You have to recognize we're in a battle for life and death. Your children are going to go to heaven or hell. Your wife is headed for heaven or hell. She is either a believer or she's not. Or she's caught in that five virgins who are going to have the oil burn out. Or he's going to be caught in that. This is nothing to play with. This is no game. This is not a video game where the guy, oh, restart, and they come back to life and you fight the same battle for the 47th time till you shoot all the enemy down. It is not like that. It is life and death. It matters. And here's the sad part. There are people that will not make it, possibly sitting next to you, in front of you, or behind you. That now becomes the challenge, because here is Samuel. Please understand, Samuel prayed to God all night long when God told him he's going to go and speak to Saul. Samuel loves Saul. There's a special relationship there. He is about to confront Saul with a blunt, in-your-face confrontation moment, and this is not easy for Samuel. He's praying for strength. He's praying for mercy. He's praying that somehow there will maybe be a way to avoid this from the situation. And so he goes from there, and it says, Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices? The answer is no. As much as in obeying the voice of the Lord? The answer comes back, of course not. To believe, to obey, is better than sacrifice, the way other translations have put it. But you start to understand the significance of it. It goes on. For rebellion is like the sin of witchcraft, divination, and arrogance is like the evil itself of worshiping a false god. You become arrogant and think you can tell God, "But I did. I brought Agag back and to show he was defeated." Bringing the king back was typical. They would bring back the head of the king, the crown of the king, and that would be their trophies. And they'd hold them up and say, "See, I killed him." God didn't want any of that for Saul. And Saul didn't want any of God's way for him. And so you hear this going on in this moment. It says, "But because you have," now watch this word, "rejected, turned your back on the word of the Lord, he has rejected you from king." I don't want to preach that, but it is consistent with God. There is a reality that one day I will stand up there and it'll either be enter into heaven or I have no idea who you are. That's a reality. You may be on my right or my left. You may be the most holy man or woman in the world, but you cannot transfer your faith, your belief, into my category to save me or do anything for me. And so what's our challenge? Our challenge is to not let ourselves become like Saul. Saul cries out, and I didn't read it all to you. Saul cries out later on, and he says, "Oh, I'm guilty. I shouldn't have done that. Please forgive me." And Samuel tears the robe off, the piece of cloth off it as you go on and read. And Saul goes, "No, no," or Samuel goes, "No. God has rejected you. He has torn from you the kingship. You're not coming in." Then Samuel, rather than continuing to repent and be broken, Saul barters with Samuel, "Well, at least come and make me look good in front of my elders and generals and leaders," which Samuel agrees to. And in that moment, they worship the Lord. Samuel says, "Bring Agag to me." And I'm going to read it to you because this is kind of serious. It says this: Agag was the king of the Amalekites who Saul was supposed to kill. But Samuel said, I'm in verse 33 if you got your Bibles handy, "As your sword has made women childless, so will your mother be childless among women." And he hacks him to pieces. And that's really the word. Hacks him to pieces. That becomes the judgment against Saul. "Saul, I don't play games. It is life and death. This is not a warm, fuzzy feeling. This is what it takes to come follow me and be my man. To obey is better than sacrifice." Then I made you look at those other two verses, one out of Psalms and the phrasing there where it talks about, but I quite like the one in Micah. Psalms, I'll read first. In Psalm 51:17, "The sacrifices of God are a broken, crushed, or burst spirit, and a heart that's burst, broken, or crushed." That's what God wants. What did I try and show in the little children's sermon? The problem with me, it wasn't coming from my heart. My heart wasn't broken. It wasn't crushed. I'd rather have you crushed and broken before God than anything else, because arrogance is exactly what he said. It's like the sin of divination. You might as well worship demonic forces. Well, what do you mean? Because you actually think you can do it without God. Because you have become greater in your own mind than you were ever meant to be, not because God is trying to crush you or beat you down, but because you're dealing honestly with who you are. You're recognizing the sinner that you are. You're not walking around going, "I'm getting so much better today. God, you're so much lucky to have me. Today I kind of changed your plans, but it's okay, God, because you and I are a team. We're just kind of..." God whispers, says, "No, I am the master. You're the slave. When you obey me, then you and I are in harmony. When you disobey me, then you're not. And so the last thing I picked up for you out of Micah, I said this. And it was read to you. I just want to read it to you from Micah 6 again. What shall I come before the Lord with? What shall I bow down with to the Most High? Shall I bring him burnt offerings of calves 1 year old? Would the Lord be pleased with 1,000 rams burnt up like that? Or rivers of oil that I brought for an offering? Shall I give you my firstborn child for my wickedness and my sinfulness? And he answers, none of those are no good. All those things are valueless in one sense. He showed me, you, O man, what is good and what the Lord requires from you. Do justice. Love mercy. Walk broken humbly before your God. That's the challenge. Do justice. The Lord's justice, which fit perfectly with our Bible study this morning where Josiah shared. Love mercy. Goodness, kindness. Love it. And finally, walk humbly with your God. The challenge for you and I today is to not get caught up in the Saul thing. To recognize that God is dealing honestly. There are people around you where God is simply going to close the book because they have refused. I do not, and I would never point at one of us or anyone you know. My job is to preach the gospel, love them till they're gone, and I can't preach it anymore. But here's the truth. In the reality of God, he's going, this person is not going to listen. This person is not going to change. They do not want enough oil for their lamp. They are going to be left outside. I don't know you. It's not God making up words to scare you. It is the truth. And so here's the challenge. Lord God, break me wide open. Own every part of me until all of that garbage that crept into Saul's life stays out of mine. How capable we are, Lord, to begin thinking we don't need grace or the freedom that comes from the blood shed on the cross for our sins. How easily we think, Lord, that our sins aren't really all that bad, considering look at the rest of the people in the world and how wicked they live and how they are behaving. Lord God, open our eyes until we see clearly that we deal honestly, that we love justice and do the very things that you've called us to do. Teach us how to be your people, Lord, in every way. Teach us to live under the powerful grace that is won for us at the cross, to know salvation is through you, by you, and in you alone, Lord. Teach me what real obedience means. Pray that for my life and for the life of each one of us here. In your name, Jesus, amen. As the offering is received, if you're a guest or a visitor,